All right, we'll call to order the public hearing for the Stevensville Town Council. Today is Wednesday, June 17th, 2020. Ms. Hoffman, would you please call the roll?
Mayor Dewey.
Here.
Councilmember Devlin.
Here.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Here.
And Councilmember Michelson.
Here.
And Councilmember Vick has an absence this evening.
Great, thank you. If you'd please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we're here tonight to entertain a public hearing. The council's goal tonight is to facilitate gathering public comment on the town's community housing needs, including public facilities, economic development, and housing, and include the needs of low-income persons to be served by the proposed development of a low-income multifamily housing project known as Burnt Fork Place Apartments. Representatives of the development are here tonight for a presentation to explain the project. And then from that point, we will open the floor for public comment. Public comment, as we've explained in past hearings, is an opportunity to express your views on the proposed development, but it is not necessarily set up to be a question-answer forum. If there are questions you'd like to ask the representatives of the development, we'd ask that you get their contact information and facilitate those questions individually with those folks. Otherwise, please just come make your public comment for the record, and we'll move on. With that, we'll open the we'll go forward with the presentation. For the benefit of the audio, I am going to ask that you use the microphone as much as you can so that the online audience can hear you.
Can you push the button, please?
Yeah, sorry, we didn't turn it on. Go ahead. Yes.
Good evening. My name is Jim Morton, M-O-R-T-O-N, and I'm the Executive Director of the Human Resource Council. And Human Resource Council serves residents of Ravalli, Missoula, and Mineral Counties. And we were formed in 1965. I personally have been working in this valley since about 1972, so quick math would tell you that I've been around for about 48 years. Our offices are located at 303 North 3rd Street in Hamilton, and we also have offices in Missoula and in Superior. I apologize for my voice. I have a neurological problem, maybe due to my age. So sometimes my voice doesn't carry, so if you cannot hear me, please speak up. What I would like to do is give you a little bit of a background about the low-income housing tax credit project. And I do have a handout that I can give you.
Thank you, sir.
The reason I'm giving you the information about the low-income housing tax credit program, which is an Internal Revenue Code project that was enacted by Congress in 1986, and then what it does is it provides tax credits to those investors who qualify for their purchase of tax credits from what's called low to moderate income housing projects. This particular project does have investors for that Internal Revenue Code. And why I'm giving you this is that if you go down to 60% and you go across, you see a one person can earn more than $30,000 per year. two people cannot earn more than $34,320. I would suggest to you that that's a pretty high income and that most of us would not think that's low income. These are not subsidized units. They are units that are geared for moderate income people. So the low-income housing tax credit is somewhat of a misnomer, because most of us don't think that two people earning $34,000 a year are low income. So they're not subsidized. They're not for the lowest income residents of the urban community. We have about 100 units in the valley, and some of those units are subsidized. But for these, those income limits will apply. So in this particular project, we're going to be serving senior citizens and disabled and victims of domestic violence. So if you get that sheet and you go across and you're down here at 60% and you go all the way, you will see the rents. So if you're making $34,320 and you want a two-bedroom unit, the rent will be $964. Not subsidized. You're going to have to pay for that out of your income. So that background tells you a little bit about the development. We do own projects where we serve much lower income people. But again, for this project, elderly, disabled, and victims of domestic violence are a little bit higher income. So if you, Mr. Mayor, take questions about that from council members, I'm glad to answer them, but otherwise.
Are there any questions from the council for the presenter? Okay.
Okay. So property, Eastside Highway, Ace Hardware, Ammo Shop, Self Storage. You keep going east, you're going to run into the mall, you're going to run into a fitness center, and you're going to run, into fabrication. The property is already zoned for the use we're proposing. We and the Missoula Housing Authority have been interested in the property, and the Housing Authority bought it in about 2005. So they're donating the land to this project. So we have in the past come to the council, previous councils, previous mayors, Main Street Association, and got support for this project. So it's not new. It may be new to some of you, but it is not new in terms of how long we've been working on it. So what you have before us is a site plan. And again, I apologize for my voice. My brain and my vocal cords don't work together all the time. So I'm going to ask Bob Robinson, who he's the architect, to come up and explain the site.
My name is Bob Robinson, R-O-B-I-N-S-O-N. I'm the staff architect for the Human Resource Council. I've been working with them for about 7-8 years, I think. I've been working with them to develop the floor plans and the site plans, and we've kind of gone through some configurations due to the site conditions out on the site. And this is here is our latest site plan that we've worked on. It's the one that the engineers have been putting the final touches on. And basically, what we wanted to do was pull the buildings away from this area up here that has a little higher water. We did ground tests for where the water was at in these areas, and then got soils and engineering reports. And we're going to build some of this section up like the storage units did across the way, just to keep us out of the floodplain area. And we're going to be on crawl spaces, so to help that out. The big question that's always come up with everybody, and it was one of our big questions, and I know a lot of people around here have had the questions, and it's the first thing that we told the civil when we started to sit down and looking at the previous versions and making it real, was that we wanted to maintain our site water on our property, the surface water, the rain. And that's required by state law, by all codes, but it's something that we've really worked hard for. We've got, and we had to go and get a groundwater quality, I'm missing the words right now, but basically we are retaining most of the water, or we're retaining all the water that comes in here into a large, shallow area through rain, you know, that happens through a rain, and our measurement is for the 100-year floodplain kind of rain. So we have to satisfy those conditions to meet the state's requirements. And we are currently have submitted to them, and we're just going through the last bits of approval on that. They've given us preliminary approval, but you know, we're the engineers are working on the COVID-19. Normally there's a time period of 60 days that you get when you submit, but with the COVID they've kind of washed those away a little bit. But we're on schedule for we're our plan right now is mid-July to start breaking ground. The actual construction of units won't be for about a month, probably 2 months after that. Just we're going to do the site work, get it graded appropriately, make sure that we're taking care of all our water on site. Just to give you an idea, is that this area over here is where we're going to collect some of the water, and then we'll have some area back here. And when I say that, it's not going to be a lake. It's not going to be a pond. It's what's called a shallow moist, is, you know, a shallow spread out kind of moisture collection area where it is taken care of through evaporation and naturally like that. So you want to spread it out so you get as much surface area. All this is determined by state law and engineer laws that our engineers have followed. And we're working with PCI. They're out of Hamilton and Missoula. So, you know, the units that we designed, right now if you go to a lot of the production housing that you're seeing around, you're seeing two-bedroom units at about $700 to $750. That's what they're trying to get them into. We've gone up to try to get a little bit more space so that the people can age in the units, so that some of the units can become adaptable. We have one fully what's called a Type A handicap unit, but all the ground floors are what are known as Type B units, which means you can age into them, we can pull out cabinets, we can, all the doors are already the right sizes, we have the right turning radiuses. So somebody, an elderly person moves into one of these units, and as they move along in age, they get a little bit more limited in what they can do, they don't have to move out and find a new place to live. The place will adapt to them. And so that was one of the design criteria that we put on early, is that we wanted to be able to age in place and meet all the fair housing requirements. We have two duplexes that are three bedrooms units, and then over here you'll see a two-story building, and that will have four duplexes, and I think this one's a threeplex, I should say. It's our three bedrooms duplex. So We're trying to address families, and even on the two-story, we're trying to define areas where they can come down off the second story. We have little decks off there that they have an outdoor space that's defined as theirs, so that the upper floor doesn't miss out on opportunities to go kick a ball around or do something like that. So we've been working with the architecture and also the landscaping to provide separate areas for everyone. And again, one of the other area that we're addressing is battered and abused families. And so we need to make sure that we have room for kids to play, especially if they're under stress. They need to be able to run around. So that's a real brief description. I'd be willing to take any questions anybody has. So.
Mr. Michelson.
Yes, when you first stated that this has come before councils before?
This project's been going for quite some time. I don't know the exact dates. Jim will know.
No, I meant, did you state it came before Stevensville councils before?
Yes.
Okay, may I ask why it was turned down or wasn't pursued at that time?
It was supported by the former councils and mayors, and we applied for funding. The funding is very competitive. The funding for the tax credit project might have 19 applicants and fund 5 from across the whole state. So those are very competitive, and we went back several times, and finally the Montana Board of Housing did award us funding. So that's why it took a few years. The idea is that we don't want debt, because that doesn't, if we have debt, we're not able to be flexible with the rents. So that's why we kept coming back to the tax credit project.
Thank you.
Any further questions from council? Okay, and to clarify the point or the question to Mr. Michelson, when this project has been brought before previous councils, and when that happened, it wasn't necessarily brought before the council for approval or denial, because as the project lays out today, it's compliant with all development and zoning regulations. So the town does not have a say-so into whether or not the project proceeds as it's designed. And so when this project's been proposed or has been presented to council, it's been to seek support from the town in a funding application, not necessarily for a vote to say yes project or no project, just to clarify that point.
Yeah, thank you. That's, yes.
As long as a property complies with all development standards and codes and they're not seeking a variance, then there's very little the town can do to obstruct or otherwise do something like that for a project. So,
and this is a 3-acre parcel, and there'll be 16 units. As Bob said, 2 duplexes and 3 fourplexes. And we have tried to meet the requirements for fire in terms of the in-air, the pavement and parking. Parking will be up here. Again, we know that we want off-site. There's not any off-site parking. We want on-site parking. We've developed that. The construction, again, we think will take through March of 2021, maybe June of 2021. And we're dealing with the local contractor and local subs.
For comparison on our development code, as he stated, it's a 3-acre parcel. In an R2 zone, a developer is allowed to build 16 units per acre. So he's doing a third of what's allowed on the property. Any further questions from council before we open it up for public comment? Ms. Holcomb.
You state that you're going to retain the water. So when you start building, is that going to start pushing water into other people's homes? Because I know when Creekside went in, my house got a lot of water.
No, that's why we go with a shallow system, because it will not affect it. If we go with a deeper system that sits there for longer and starts to perk down. If you go with the shallow system that spreads the water out, it evaporates and goes away before it can really perk into the area. We've ran this by the engineers, and we've told them under no circumstances do we want to be loading that groundwater there. And they've assured us that the way they've designed it, we are not going to have an impact with our surface water, flooding somebody else either over the ground or coming in underneath. Whatever happening right now will happen. It will be the status quo.
There is high groundwater in some areas. You already know that, and everybody here knows that. So we're dealing with the groundwater and with surface water. So not much we can do about the groundwater. It is what it is, and we've had it tested over the years. But surface water, that is our responsibility, as well as trying to figure out what happens to the groundwater, if we have any impact on that. And that gets into the agricultural end around of how they flood irrigate, and that's sort of beyond our control. But surface water, we are controlling that. And as far as we know, as Bob said, we're rigging in fill so that we're not digging down and trying to displace any of the groundwater. So we'll bring in about 2 feet.
Two feet at the high end.
Yeah, so we'll bring up 2 feet. So if we're going down 4 feet, we're bringing up another 2 feet. So we're only penetrating the ground 2 feet instead of 4 feet. So hopefully that also mitigates any groundwater.
Okay. There's no further questions from council. Does it sound like it? Then we'll go ahead and open the floor for public comment. For public comment, you can step to the podium, state your name and address for the record, make your comment. There's a sign-in sheet so that the clerk gets the correct spelling of your name and can easily identify you when we compile the minutes. Through the public comment period, please be respectful of the individual speaking. It's extremely distracting when there's whispering occurring in the audience, especially for the council who's trying to hear your opinions. So please keep that to a silence. With that, we'll go ahead and invite public comment. Step forward to the podium as you wish.
Jim Tadvik, 509 Mission Street, here in town. The only comment I have is whether our water and sewer system has capacity for not only this, but the proposed subdivision going out by Creekside, with 78 single-family lots, 43 multi-family lots, and 16 light commercial lots. I question whether our system, our current system, can handle it, or are we going to have to hold another bond issue to upgrade it? Thank you.
My name is Beth Larson. I reside at 102 Winslet. This project will be bordering our property. My comment is on groundwater. I heard what Robin said. I put a fence in last spring, late spring. 3 feet of water, or 3 feet down, I hit water. 3 feet. Crawl space underneath the house, every spring we have water in it. We have a sump pump that takes it out. Water is a problem there. Big problem. I know the gentleman, and I'm being respectful. They've done studies, and I'm sure they have. My question is, sometimes after a project is done, there's problems, unforeseen problems. We're always the ones left holding the bag. Like you were saying, Robin, about your basement as a result of that development. Well, what recourse do you have? None. That's why I'm here. And I think it's great for the senior citizens. I'm a senior citizen. For the handicapped, for the abused people, I think it's great. I think we need stuff like this. But I think we need to be a little more careful with the groundwater. That's the only problem. Besides, we have a lot of wildlife in that area, but these days we don't pay much attention to wildlife. We have bear, we have deer, all kinds of wildlife there. And that'll pretty much be gone to a degree when this comes in. And as the gentleman said, the groundwater is what it is because it's an irrigation area, farming land. That makes me a little bit nervous. Right now, a lot of that is ranch land. What happens if they go into putting crops in, which will demand more water? That's But all I have to say, just something we need to consider, is that groundwater. And there's plenty of examples around Stevensville of problems with water. And like Jim Tadvig said, our system, in the fall, we're limited on watering. We've just put out a lot of money for the water and the sewer. Can that handle more? Thank you for your time.
My name is Dave Thorson, T-H-O-R-S-O-N. I live at 106 Winslet, which is right here. I have the same issues with groundwater. I mean, crawl space didn't get wet this year, but it has in the past couple years. And a lot of it, I think, has to do with the storage units over there compacting all that ground. And I'm just curious to know if the engineering is taking into consideration all that, this, all the paving and everything.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to get the DEQ to approve it, they have to talk about hard surfaces, grassy surfaces, groundwater, surface water, the percolation rate of the soil. I mean, we've had soil testing out there, and we've been doing, you know, some things to meet those requirements. And, whatever in the groundwater right now, we will be above it. We will not be affecting the groundwater. The surface water, it's going to be better off now than it is. I mean, it's going to be better off when we're done than it is now. Right now, it's going wherever it wants. It's going to stay on our property when we're done. The rainwater, the surface water. So.
Okay. Is this the property line?
Let's refrain from question answer period. This is just an opportunity to provide comment to the council.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I have.
You're welcome. Is there any further public comment?
Questions. Kim French, 510 East 2nd, number 4. I grew up in that neighborhood, so I'm well aware of the water issues over there. It's river bottom, and the reason that we can dig 3 feet and find water is because there's clay there, and you are directly above bedrock of what used to be the real Bitterroot River that came when the glacial blah 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 came through the valley. It will always have water. It's had water since the pioneers arrived here. That's why Robin's basement is always flooded. I'm kind of wondering who the investors are, because I looked this property up on the Montana Cadastral, and it says that it's owned by Garden City Neighbor Incorporated at 1235 34th Street, Missoula. I looked up 1235 34th Street, Missoula, and that is the Missoula County Housing Authority. So, can't seem to figure out who owns this property, and I don't recall this coming before any council meeting in the last 10 years that I've been going to town council meetings. I'm questioning how we are going to figure out the seniors and the disabled and the domestic violence at $34,000 go to a two-bedroom, which is what I'm living in right now. It's $964. My rent's only $650. I have a pretty good unit, actually. My water's paid. Sewer's paid. So it's rent and electric, and I pay a little over $800 a month. Now, I make $850 an hour. I don't work 40 hours a week. I wish I did, but I have to supplement my income with my own job. But if I did work 40 hours a week, I would make, in 1 year period, $17,680, which would put me in low income standards. So I think I'm kind of better off where I'm at, where I'd be paying $300 more a month for a two-bedroom house. Victims of domestic violence. I'm not sure how we're going to ensure that victims of domestic violence get in this house and victims of domestic violence tend to repeat the cycle without counseling or other intervention to cease and desist making bad choices. Most of the disabled people that I know max out at $1,200 a month, which still doesn't get to this $34,000 at 60% number. So I have a lot of questions here, like who the investors for this project really are, why it's being directed to the Missoula County Housing Authority, and how we are going to ensure that people in our valley are actually being helped, because $34,000 is a pretty good number. If that's what you're making, you can get a pretty nice house in this valley at $34,000. Teachers at the school make between $27,000 and $34,000 each. And that's not low income. I know because I lived in low income housing and I was there because I did not make $17,680 a year. I made $12,000. And my rent was paid for me. I paid $100 a month. And I was on food stamps. And I worked 40 hours a week, $2.13 an hour, as a waitress. So I'm really questioning a lot of these numbers. And who's investing in them.
Okay, further public comment.
Are we writing on the...
Well, we're asking that we do. It doesn't appear that anyone has.
Okay.
As long as you state your name, it's complicated. If you wouldn't mind, that'd be very helpful for the clerk. And if you have made comments...
You should have it memorized by now. I've been here enough, haven't I?
If you haven't, or if you have already commented and haven't signed the sheet, we ask that you do so before you leave.
My name is Sherry Deitch, and I live at 105 Winslet Avenue. So, I mean, the idea of a low-income housing, I used to be low-income single mother. So, to me, that, you know, sounds like something that would be great for our community. You know, I think that there is low-income housing here that probably could use an upgrade, something affordable that's nice for people in our community. A big concern, I guess, that I have, like other people it sounds like, is with the water. And I know that in my backyard, if I dig down less than 24 inches, I'm hitting clay. And I imagine if I went much further than that, I'd hit water. The water table is so high that I don't water my grass. And it stays green all the time. I have trees in the back. I don't water the trees. They stay green. My crawl space has had flooding. I have to have a double vapor barrier in order to prevent my house from having impact from that. I gather, just like probably is required, perk tests have been done. I would question what time of year were those done? You know, was that done during the time where the most melt-off is happening? And you would see the worst of it. Or is that done in a time where, you know, the rivers are really low and probably everything is absorbing really easily? I guess quite a while back, you sent out a letter endorsing this project. No one has ever sent anyone on my street that I'm aware of a letter letting people know that these things were in the works until that letter. No opportunity. I mean, I know we're hearing don't ask questions, just make statements. But we are the people of this town that are impacted by these things that you're sending out and endorsing. No inquiry from any of us as to our concerns or questions that we might have that would like to be answered. I have a big concern with that. With you as the mayor endorsing something that you just seem to not care what the people of this town think about it. That seems to be a theme. I'm just going to say it's a theme. So I guess if I'm allowed to ask a question, what time of year were the perk tests done? Anybody answer that?
Let's refrain from a dialogue, please. We've written your questions down. Okay, we're not engaging in a dialogue during public comment. Let's make our comments. You can ask questions that it appears the representatives are writing down. I'm keeping track of the questions that are being asked.
Oh, so when will they be answered then? When will they be answered?
We're not engaging in a dialogue, Ms. Dietz. Okay, so.
How do I find out when they'd be answered? Do I call your office?
We'll make the contact information for the developers available to you.
Okay. So when, oh, I can't ask the question. Gosh, I just don't even know. Like, I missed part of the meeting, apparently. I might have missed something. Like, when is the project supposed to start? You know, how noisy is it going to be in our area when all this is going on?
I think if you stay after the meeting a little while, the representatives are happy to answer some of those questions for you. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's all I've got.
Is there any further public comment?
My name is Bill Jarvis. My address is 285 Village Parkway, Stephenville. I own the property and the business right to the north of this development. You're talking about water. My property, and I don't remember how many yards of dirt was brought in to build that up, and it's still really boggy when it rains and when there's snow melt. And my piece of property is a lot higher than theirs, and much higher than the piece of property to the west. I have a question for someone at some time, that I see there's 16 units being built, is that right? Is it 16 units?
That's correct.
And you got a schedule for 8 people and a four-bedroom place. How many people are they intending to put into this complex? And how many cars are going to be parked? And how many cars are going to be driving up and down that road? I think you all know what wildfowl lane looks like. They just repaired that just about a year ago, and now they're digging it up again. With the amount of water that's there and the amount of traffic for, 128 people, if they put 8 people in each unit, what kind of traffic problems we're going to see? And how often am I going to have to kick in to repair the roadway that runs by my shop? I've been there for about 3 years, and we haven't had one pothole. Big trucks come in and out. UPS is in there. Federal Express is in there every day. And I haven't had any issues with that roadway at all. But if I'm seeing the traffic that it looks like this roadway might see, well, that's going to cost a small fortune to keep that road surface decent. That's my comments.
Stacy Barker, 104 Winslet Ave. I also boarded this property. I have brought many times concerns to the council about this piece that had gone in. I remember in 2016, I sat in that chair, and it was brought to you guys one time. And then the project was dropped. Nothing else was brought forth. No more paperwork was brought forth for anybody to see. But you're saying that it's been brought forth many times to the council for different times of people to look at. I beg to differ with that. I have water in my basement, my crawl space several times during the year. Not just in the summer, because again, there is that clay, it does evaporate a little bit. We washed that, the storage units going behind us, and last year he had to put a drain field in there. You know where that drain field went to? Right into that field, into our house. So this is very, you know, them saying that they're gonna level it out and make it so that the water is gonna sustain in their area. Mosquitoes? Wow, infestation. I have a problem with this unit going in behind us and what you say is gonna be low income. The other thing is has there been an assessment for roadway on how much traffic it's gonna bring in? I like how the name has changed as well. Thank you.
My name is Leanna Rodeval, and I am wondering why the council has no say in this. Why it is now up to a mythical person to decide if we have this issue in our neighborhood? Who made that decision? Why is the council not involved? Why can they not say, we don't want this? They don't want it. The only person that I know in this room that wants it is Mr. Dewey. And Mr. Dewey is ramrodding it down the throats of everybody in this room, and we don't want it. Does that make any difference to you, Mr. Mayor? No. When does the council say to you, you cannot make this kind of decision for the people of the town?
Ms. Rodeboss, respectfully, this isn't about decisions and whether or not the project is
you
allowed.
You always shut me up because I don't have any respect for you.
Ms. Rodeboss, it's the reason that I ask you
please
to...
Please don't interrupt me.
I'm interrupting you because you're completely off topic.
Because you're being rude, and I don't appreciate that.
Ms. Rodeboss?
I still want to know why the council cannot make this decision.
It's been explained.
No, it hasn't.
Okay, you've made your comment. Do you have more comment to make on topic?
What do you consider on topic? This is about a hearing to put in a low-income housing unit in our town using our water, our sewer, we pay a whole bunch of money for. It's pretty much on topic when I say, why can't the council make this decision? And I guess I'm done. But I hope you people realize what he's doing to you.
I'm nodding it.
Jane Schutz, 103 Winslet. I ordered this. I've lived there since the beginning. We flood almost every year. At least once, if not multiple, every time they build, we flood worse. I think it's time to think about us. And we just paid all this money for this water. Our water is worse. The sewer is expensive, and you're going to add all these new properties. At whose expense? We're on fixed incomes. I can't afford more. And I want this to stop. We were told originally, I went to the Nicole Court one, and they said we would have a say. Then I get a letter from you that says it's done. Every town has had a chance to say whether they want it or not, except for Stevensville. Why? Thank you.
Further public comment.
Tanya Hurt, 106 College Street. So my question again is water. I had water in my crawl space last year. I had water in my crawl space the year before. It's not going away. I don't care if you build it up or whatever. They built up the storage units. Guess what? It moved the water. They put just around the corner on Spring Street, they put two houses. It rained. What did it do? It flooded around. One of the houses had to be halfway rebuilt. You're not going to make this issue any better. My understanding is Darby had the option. They didn't take it. My understanding is Hamilton had the option. They didn't take it. We, the citizens of Stevensville, do not want it. What if these people who live on Winslet or Pine Street that gets a ton of water start flooding more so in their basement, who do they go after? Who are they going after to pay for their black mold? Yeah. It's going to happen. How many have you guys looked at how many low-income housing has black mold in them? I've got a friend right now that was just shipped down to Texas because 18 years ago she lived in low-income housing. There was black mold. She didn't know about it. It's hard to detect. Guess what? She's suffering now at 40 years old. Are we thinking about that? That's a swamp. I was telling the people who've lived here a long time know that that area is a swamp area. I was telling somebody who didn't even know about this project about it. She goes, oh, well, we called that the swamp when I was growing up. Why are we building on it? Doesn't make sense. We don't want it. I think we have a choice. And I think we can say no. And I would highly suggest we say no.
Further public comment?
Leslie Tadvick, 509 Mission Street, Stevensville. I'd just like to say, growing up here, I pedaled my bicycle all over this town. We could go any place in this town we wanted to go, except my mom said, don't go near the swamp, because it was a bog. You'd put your foot in there and it would suck you right down. Now, these people are trying to tell you that they don't want you messing with the area behind their house. It floods. It ruins their lives, and we don't even know who's going into these houses. We don't know how it would affect their lives, but we do know they're asking you not to put this through. And I would, for one, would like to ask the council the question, which council was it that put this through? Who was on this council? And I think we have the right to know that, and I think you have the right and the honor to answer it. Thank you.
Mark Adams, 610 East 2nd Street. My wife and I live in the house that my mom and dad brought me to the day after I was born on East 2nd Street. And that was 66 years ago. And other than a very few, I want to say you could count them all on the fingers of one hand, a very few years we had to pump the basement, crawl space. But I really don't want to address that issue. I would like to address the economics of this situation. Everybody knows, or should know by now, the residential development, whether it be single family, multifamily or an apartment building, multi-story apartment building, does not pay the freight. Isn't that amazing? The tax revenue from a residential structure, whether it be single family or multifamily, does not pay for the services they require. Never have, and they never will. So, we have a 16-unit development going in. And yes, they will pay property taxes. And yes, that will be an increase in revenue for the town of Stevensville. It will not cover the cost of additional police, fire, ambulance, water, sewer, not to mention parks and recreation, transportation. Another economic issue is these kinds of people, and I know they're not low income, they're moderate income people, need jobs. Am I correct? Yes. And this territory has a lot of low income jobs. So we are putting them into a situation where in order to pay the rent, they would have to go outside Stevensville because there's not enough jobs in Stevensville to supply 128 people, even though most of them may or may not be in the workforce. Okay, so all of a sudden you have a moderate income person that needs a car to drive to Missoula or Hamilton to work, or if they really want to better themselves, to drive to Missoula or Hamilton to go to school. Okay, so you have to have a car. And I know there's kind of a mass transit system with the iRide van, but that's extremely limited. Whereas Missoula has a mass transit. They have the university, the college at the university out by Sentinel, and they have jobs. So here we are in the little Stevensville with a project that won't pay its own way, and it never has and never will. And we have people who need jobs in order to pay the rent that can't afford to live here because the job market is so low. And there are jobs, just minimum wage and above. And so, it makes absolutely no sense economically to do this. And, you know, there's an old saying, common sense is like deodorant. The people who need it never use it. Thank you.
Any further comment?
I have one last comment about the water. I'll sign my name while I do that.
Sounds great.
There's this neat little thing about water, and after listening to everybody talking about their flooding all the way down to College Street, didn't know it was going that far. Should have known the bathhouse is down there, and that's where it gets its refrigeration from. Water finds its own level. That's why contractors really love their water levels and why they cost so much money, because they can get perfect. You build the water up, right? The water stays. Water's not going anywhere, except when it rains, because it's going to go down. It's going to keep going down. Whereas before, it was all level, and when it rained, just all settled in the swamp. But now we're going to build that up 2 feet so that we can dig down 4, so that we can stay 2 feet above water level. But, see, that's all well and good in theory until you got rain and you got snow melt. Then all that water from above comes down. but it has less space to disperse. So, makes perfect sense what Tanya's saying, that when Rob and Kimber put the storage units in, all of a sudden she experienced flooding, or they put in Creekside and all of a sudden so-and-so experienced flooding. There was less room for the water to disperse because you built it up in that area. And that's just how water works. Every 28 days, this dirt ball goes around and around and the moon pulls on that water, and you watch the tides down there in the ocean in Florida or down on Tampa, down in Texas, down in South America, the moon pulls on the water. Well, just because the water isn't on the surface in the ocean doesn't mean the water ain't here. The water's right here. It's right below your feet. This all used to be river bottom, all the way up to Logan and all the way across to where the banks are now. It's all river bottom. And the more you build up, the more you shorten that dispersal of the water and where its natural source is, making it more wet and making the houses that are on Winslet and further to the west more at danger of flooding and collapsing and sinkholes and everything else. And it's physics. And I wonder who's doing these perk tests for Sirius right now. That's a really good question, because that has been a flood zone for 40 years. When Ron Klaphacke came to us about the sidewalk on 2nd Street and was so surprised they found a sidewalk there, I've been walking that sidewalk since 1976. Every single year they fix that sidewalk, and every single year comes spring flooding, goodbye sidewalk. Every year. Because the spring and the natural water source for the Bitterroot River is right underneath our feet. And you can't move it. God put it there. And it's not going anywhere. And you can build it up all you want, but it's still going to be there. And the people that are going to suffer is everybody downhill. So the more you go up, the more the people at the bottom, their houses are in jeopardy. Well, they lose their houses, you lose more tax people, because they can't just replace their houses. They're in a flood zone. Been in a flood zone for 500 years or more.
Okay. Next public comment, please.
John Kellogg with PCI. My apologies to Mr. Robinson and Mr. Morton. We're working with them, and they probably didn't know I was going to be here. So I thought I'd like to help answer a few questions that have arisen. Back in 2003, this property was proposed for a development by a previous owner, and that came partway through the process. It was called Nicole Court. And because of financing, again, as Mr. Morton mentioned previously, it was not followed through. Since then, there have been a number of proposals coming through that have...
Could you speak up, please? We can't hear you over here.
Sorry. Since 2003, there have been a number of proposals for development of this property. And as Mr. Morton mentioned, financing has become the issue at hand. Now we have a great opportunity because the Board of Housing has chosen to identify this as a fundable project. One thing
okay.
I'd like to...
Keep it quiet in the audience, please, so that Mr. Kellogg can make his comments.
I would also like to, as everyone's aware, we've got groundwater all over town. We have Spring Street, where you can't really build a basement. We've got numerous other places around town, as Councillor Holcomb mentioned previously. We've got groundwater problems. The question is this going to make it worse?
Please keep the dialogue in the audience quiet, please.
And
it's extremely distracting.
What Mr. Robinson mentioned previously is that we need to submit this proposal to the Montana Department of Environmental Quality. What they look at is, today, there's groundwater and surface water coming through this property. We are not allowed to increase any of the surface water runoff from this property, and we need to show DEQ that that won't happen. So, the depressions that Mr. Robinson described are not going to be ponds, but are going to be places where, in extreme situations, where, say, in the spring you got frozen ground and you got a big heavy rainfall, you might have some water in that area temporarily, but it's a temporary situation. Groundwater. It's interesting. When Creekside Meadows was developed, and I live right next to Creekside, I have a shallow well that was dug back in 1950 when Arlo Ellison irrigated his pasture, and then when I followed up with irrigating, the groundwater in that shallow well, it's a, you can look right down it, came up to maybe 2 feet, maybe 18 inches from the surface. In fact, I saw it in my crawl space, which is only that far below the floor joists. Since Creekside has been developed, the groundwater, or the water in that well, has come up to, at the shallowest, maybe 4 feet, because Arlo is no longer irrigating. The big source of groundwater in patches here and there around our town is governed by irrigation practices more than projects Please. Like this. What we're proposing is, and I can't speak for our engineers, but I can say this is not going to make groundwater a worse issue for the downstream folks. This is going to be addressed through the DEQ review, and I appreciate your patience. Thank you.
Further public comment?
Hi, I'm Bill Perrin, 503 Charlos.
Can we stop?
And I'd like you to speak for a second. When I served on the council supported this project one of the previous times that it came up, and actually we attended a hearing in Helena to testify on behalf of the project for the tax credits, and weren't able to get them at that time. We went down and testified with, on behalf of it, and so therefore, as I understand, then it just wasn't feasible. But we did look at it, and I think myself and Desra, and I believe the mayor at that time, we all attended and testified on behalf of it in favor. Thank you.
Any further public comment? All right. With that, we will.
Yes.
Jim Tabick, 509 Mission. Would it be possible for George, the head of the water department, to make a comment on whether we have the capacity to handle all of this for water and sewer?
George isn't going to know that answer. That's being evaluated by HDR at this time.
Thank you for answering.
With that, we'll close public hearing and adjourn. We'll allow 25 minutes till 8 o'clock for folks to interact with the representatives, if that's okay with you folks.
Yes.
And then at 8 o'clock, we'll lock up the room. So with that, we'll adjourn the hearing. Thanks, everyone.